All right, our young people will head to the back with Brother Jim this morning. Those of you here will turn to Matthew chapter number 1 this morning. Matthew chapter number 1. Going to start do a Christmas message. You say, well, you're going to do one next week. You never know about me. But doing a Christmas message, I actually think I'm going to do the next 3 weeks. I think I will be doing Christmas messages. I hope to, I know we've got some folks that need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And I hope this week, I actually planned on doing it last week, but we had several things happen that was kind of redid my schedule to get with folks who want to be baptized. I'm hoping next Sunday night to have a baptismal service. I want to have a baptismal service before the Lord's Supper. We're going to have the Lord's Supper on Christmas night this year. I know the attendance will be low, but that's we're still going to do that, meet and have the Lord's Supper. And we believe, as our church, we believe that in what's called closed communion, where the Lord's Supper is given for members of the church. Now, that doesn't mean you can't come, and if you take of it, it's between you and the Lord. We don't say don't do that. We just believe in what's called closed communion. God left two ordinances to the church, baptism and communion. If my grandson gets saved in Iowa, and he's a member of the First Baptist Church in Seymour, Iowa, should he come down here for his grandpa to baptize him? Where should he get baptized at? He should get baptized in his own church. And so the ordinances were not given to everybody. They were given to local New Testament churches. Now, that makes people really, really mad. And usually if you get mad, guess who's got the problem? You do. But, you know, like I said, we pass the plate. If you want to take it, that's between you and the good Lord. But as a church, we believe in closed communion. You know, if you want to look at some other reasons why we practice that, I'm okay with that. Now, I've got some friends who they don't let you take of it. they won't give it to you if you're not a member. I've got some churches will have you stand. Some churches will literally have it after the service and dismiss all non-members. Before that, we don't do that. We actually, when we have the Lord's Supper, it's the whole service that night. And I encourage you to be reading 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, which is about the Lord's Supper, and prepare your heart for the Lord's Supper. It's a good time look through your life and see if you have sin that you need to confess and stuff. If you have any questions on that, let me know. And if you would like to follow the Lord in believers' baptism and I haven't talked to you, let me know. I've got a couple that I know I need to do that too. We're going to be in Matthew chapter number 1 this morning. I think the Christmas story is an amazing story. And it's not just when the birth of Jesus. It goes before that. Leading up to the Christmas story. So today, the title of my message this morning is When God Picked His Own Father. When God Picked His Own Father. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter number 1, and we're going to start reading in verse number 18. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18. The Bible says, Now the birth of Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. What a wonderful story there. Can you imagine some 2,000 years ago as God is bringing to fruition the prophecies that he talked about of coming to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. They didn't know everything that was going to happen, but in Isaiah chapter number 9, God said that a virgin would conceive and she would bring forth a child. And so now we're at that time. The Bible says in Galatians that God brought Jesus in the fullness of time. Can I tell you something today? When Jesus came, it was exactly when God wanted him to come. It's interesting, as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am amazed at what people put up with in the name of religion. I was watching some stuff this week. I like to watch YouTube videos, but I was watching some things this week about some of the evangelicals of the world who tell you that they need an airplane, a $52 million airplane, so that they can fly all over the world and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you a question. Why didn't God send Jesus in the days of airplanes when he could have traveled all over the place? Have you ever thought about this? God doesn't need world travelers to have a huge influence on the world. Jesus Christ left Israel one time. One time he took a small trip outside of Israel, and guess what he did when he was there? He led a lady to the Lord. She got saved. And so, but let me ask you this question. Who in this world has ever had as much influence on the world as Jesus Christ? And he never, ever, ever had to leave Israel except that one time. Listen, you think about our church and our small church here. Do you know we are impacting the world for Jesus Christ? You know how we're doing that? We're doing that through missionaries, and not only through missionaries. Miss Melanie was a member of this church for how long? And now she's gone off and moved on, and for the things that she's learned here, she's going to take that, and she's going to pass it on to other people, and other people who have been through our church. We are impacting a lot of people with our small church, and that is the way that God intended for it to happen. I was watching a man, I don't even know his name, it said why this evangelist needs a brand new airplane or brand new jet, and got on there and come to find out he was going for his third jet. He still had a really nice jet, but you know why he wanted to change it? He needed a new one so he could go anywhere in the world nonstop. They did an interview with Keith Copeland. I don't know the other guy's name, but Keith Copeland, they did an interview with him, and Keith Copeland said this. He said, how in the world do you expect us to get in a long tube with all of these devils and be able to do anything for God? Well, you know, you might do it like Chris Dallas does. How many of you know Chris Dallas? Preached in this thing here. You know what Chris Dallas does quite often on airplanes? He leads people to the Lord. Many times, Chris Dallas will lead the person on the airplane next to him to the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. Which one do you think honors God the most? Spending $52 million on an airplane, plus what it costs to do all that, the traveling and stuff, or to go on a commercial airline. You know, didn't the Bible say, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Which do you prefer? I prefer people like Chris Dallas, and I prefer people like R.B. Ouellette, who has preached at our church, and I'll have to go pick him up at the airports if he does, and he tell me of people he's witnessed to and stuff in the world. These evangelists and stuff today don't realize that it's not about them going in everywhere. It's about them having an impact in their area, and then sending people out to reach the world. Can I tell you? You know how many souls would have to be saved to make $52 million? If one was saved, you say it'd be worth it. But you could use $52 million. You could support missionaries. How long could you support missionaries for $52 million? It would be absolutely amazing at the effect that you can have today. But the world is so messed up. And so here we are, we're coming up to the time of Jesus' coming. And the time of Jesus' coming wasn't when there were airplanes. There weren't even trains. There weren't cars. One evangelist, I just shut it off when he said that. He said, let me tell you something. If Jesus was here today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey. Do you know why Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem? He didn't ride a donkey into Jerusalem because that's all he had. It was to show his humility. Do you not understand that riding that donkey professed the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you know what a $52 million airplane does? Does it profess your humility? It does not do that. And I just wanted to, I don't mean to get caught on a soapbox or anything, but when God chose Jesus, and in Galatians, as I said, it was in the fullness of time. It was the exact time that he needed to come. It was in a day and age when we didn't have all the modern conveniences of today. I haven't got anything wrong with radio ministries. But can I tell you, God didn't say for God so loved the world that he sent a radio ministry. It said for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He sent him into this world to be robed in flesh. And that meant to be limited by his flesh in that way. And it was, listen, God has a way for us to reach the world. And it isn't so much through the modern conveniences of the world. It is just to obey him. And so God now has decided it's the time for Jesus to come, and he has to pick, doesn't he? He has to pick a man. He has to pick a woman. Now, we know that Joseph was never the actual biological father of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read your Bible and you notice anytime it talks about Joseph, the worldly people would say that Joseph was the father of Jesus. But if you read your Bible, when God is speaking in the Bible, or one of the men of God are speaking, it says Mary, his mother Mary and Joseph. It doesn't say father. He was his father, he was his human father, but he had nothing to do with the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was of the Holy Spirit of God. But let me ask you a question. If God came today, if Jesus was going to be today, How would you like to be considered one of the men somebody that Jesus might pick? Can you think of a better honor? Can you think of anything more? I mean, God says, Joseph, I'm going to let you be the stepdad to God. Jesus was God. Y'all know that, right? And that's why I titled the lesson, When God Chose His Own Father. He chose Joseph. And so this morning, as we think about this, I want to think about some things about Joseph that hopefully we look in our own selves and ask ourselves if we have this. I believe you would have to admit that Joseph was a man of righteousness. He was trying to live righteously. He was trying to do what he should have done. I believe he was a man without spite. He wasn't trying to just make people do things his way. When life didn't go his way, I don't think Joseph was a man who responded in anger and get upset and stuff. I think you have to admit he was a religious man of the day. I think we see from our passage of Scripture that he was a man of prayer. And so this morning I want to look at some things that about Joseph that I hope will help us to think about that. And you know, I think even today, ladies, the things I'm going to mention, it'd be okay if you put these things in your life also. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for all you've done for us today. And Lord, I thank you for the story that we have here, the true story, about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, about the man that you chose to be his earthly father, the man that you chose to guide him down here on this earth, the man that you chose to have the male influence in his life that he needed. And Lord, there's some things from the Scripture we can learn about this man, and I pray that you would help us today in Jesus' name, amen. Number one, I would like to say today that Joseph was a troubled man. He had troubles in his life, just like you and I have troubles in our life. Listen, the Bible says in the book of Job, Job said, a man is born of woman a few days and full of troubles. The Bible says, as sparks fly upward, you're just going to have a lot of troubles in your life. I'm having a hard time this morning, having a hard time breathing, and my ear keeps popping. And that's really distracting. And I'm trying to stay home focused this morning. And I'm like, hey, my ear just stopped. Maybe it'll not come back the whole time. But there's going to be troubles in life. I didn't feel good yesterday and got out and made the visits and stuff that I needed to do and found out which kids were going. And then we got on the bus and headed down to the skating party and spent all, you know, the 2 hours there with the kids. And then we were coming back. I thank God for hearing aids because all the way back the kids sang. And that was a great thing that the kids were singing. But guess what I could do? I could turn my hearing aids down. You turn off, but you turn them down real low and the plug's in your ears and the sound was bearable. I told Alan, maybe you want to get some hearing aids. He was driving the bus and he couldn't turn it down. But I just want to say there was some troubles in his life. Joseph was a carpenter. And you know what? If you're going to be a carpenter and do carpentry work, sometimes you're going to find out there's troubles as you try to fix things and you try to repair things and stuff. And life just brings troubles. And so he was a man who had troubles in his life. But I can't imagine there was any trouble. I can't imagine him being any more troubled than he was that night when here he is espoused to his wife. You remember when you got engaged? Those of you who are married, I remember when I got engaged. I wasn't engaged long. But man, I was glad to be engaged. I was glad it was a short engagement too, by the way. I'm like Brother Baker who preached here one time, and I can't remember the title of his message, but he just kept saying, all I wanted was my bride. That's all I wanted was my bride. And I didn't wait long, but I was engaged. And I can't imagine what it would be like to be in the place of Joseph, to love this young lady, to looking forward to spending a life with her. And then all of a sudden you find out she's pregnant. Devastated, heartbroken. I can't even imagine putting myself in the place of Joseph in that day. But he was a troubled, troubled man. I mentioned he was a man without spite. You know, and he didn't run out and tell everybody what was going on. He wasn't a man who spread the rumors and made sure everybody knew exactly who had failed in this relationship and all of those things. He was a troubled man. Yes, troubles came his way. Can I tell you? But how do your troubles define you one way or another? Your troubles define you by how you respond to troubles. Do you respond to troubles by being angry and being bitter and flaring out against people? Or do you define yourself by troubles? By doing what's right. You know, there's a lot of young people today that, man, they've had it rough in life. And many, many things that have happened that haven't been what came their way. But and you know, one of the biggest problems we have in our world today is people don't know how to handle troubles. But he was a troubled man. But not only was he a troubled man, he is a troubled man who knew how to handle troubles. He just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He just trusted in God and knew what God wanted him to do. And he was such a wonderful man. I enjoy the ministry. But you know, there's a lot of troubles in the ministry. My wife and I ended up counseling this week a couple of, you know, some things, and we counseled this lady, and I've known the lady for a long time, and we've tried to help her, and she's gotten married now, and she wants to come to our church, or she says she does. And this morning she texted me and said, well, I've got a problem. I said, what's that? She said, I want to come to this church, and he wants to go to another church. And she said, what should I do? Guess what I wanted to say? Come to this church. But guess what I have to say? I have to say what the Bible says. Who's the leader of the home? Man, I can't even tell you how many times I have told them. And you know, can I tell you, that gets to be old. I don't like to say that's what you're supposed to do, but that's what they're supposed to do. And so, you know, listen, there's a lot of troubles that come your way, but instead of doing what you want to do, instead of acting according to the flesh, what we need to do is we need to act in way that God wants us to act. You young people today, yes, you may have had some hard times, but what are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond to it? There's a way that God wants us to respond. And if you're here today and you have some troubles in your life and you don't know how to respond to it, you say, what should I do? You need to get some help if you don't know what to do. And you need to go some godly counsel and let them show you what you need to do. So this morning I would like to say that he was a troubled man. In other words, God didn't pick somebody that didn't know how to handle problems, did he? Man, he picked a man who was a man just like we are. But number two, I'd like to say today, he's a tender man. You know, I think you ought to be a man's man. I think we ought to teach our children, our young boys. I think we need to teach our young boys to be boys, our young boys to be men, and our young ladies to be ladies. And you know what? Sometimes we need to tell them to tough it up. Life isn't easy. You know, I tell you what, Kirk cut that finger off. He was a lot tougher than I was. You know, I went to the hospital. He said, you want to see it? I said, no, I don't want to see it. It took me a little while before I was able to look at that finger and stuff. And he would just flip it around up in the air. You know what I'd have been doing? I'd have been about to pass out. But you know, your kids do stuff sometimes and they get hurt, and men and women respond differently. You know that? Women run to them and run up to them and say, "Honey, it'll be all right. Yeah, sweetie." And there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No.
What's a man do? Well, suck it up.
Suck it up, baby.
Yeah, come on now. Be a man. I know it hurts. You know what they say? You know what they say is the worst thing in the world, don't you? A convalescing male. Miss Kathy, you want to say amen right there? She just had one for several weeks in there, you know. Listen, sometimes you women just need to look at him and say, "Tough it up, buddy. I know it hurts, but we can't fix it." But there's nothing wrong with being tender. There's nothing wrong with hugging your sons and telling them you love them. Listen, you ought to be tender towards your wife, shouldn't you? You ought to be tender towards your daughters and stuff. Listen, we can be men and we can have a tender side. I believe that you have to admit that Joseph had a tender side. The Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child. I could understand why he would want to spread that rumor all over town. Listen, I'm getting rid of her. I'm putting her aside. I'm not having anything to do with her because this woman has done this but he just didn't do that. Do you know what the normal thing to do was that day, in that day and age? You know what the normal thing to do was? It was to get a writ of divorcement when you were engaged. It was the only thing difference in being engaged in marriage was you had not consummated the marriage yet. But to get a writ of divorcement from the priest to make sure that priest knew what this wicked, awful woman had done. Joseph was a tender man. His plan wasn't to let everybody know. His plan was to put her aside. That word "put aside" means to divorce her. His plan was to go to the priest quietly and tell the priest, said, "Now look, Mary and I were going to get married. And now she's with child. And so could you just quietly write out a writ of divorcement, and I will give it to her family, and it'll break off this formal tie that we have. And I'm just going to do it real quietly. We don't have to tell everybody else." Let me ask you a question. Was everybody else going to find out? Yeah. You know, there wasn't Planned Parenthood to go to and have a baby aborted in that day. You know, there was a lady who was used to be in Planned Parenthood, and she said, "You know, we train children to have abortions." You know how she said they train children to have abortions? She said, "We train children to have abortions by teaching them sex education." That's a former Planned Parenthood woman that had said that. And so, but he was a tender man. He didn't want to publicly humiliate her. He didn't want to drag her through the dirt. He didn't want to do anything like that. The Bible says that he was going to put her away privately. The Bible says he was not willing to make her a public example. Boy, I'm telling you what, isn't it funny how quick we are when we find somebody that's done wrong? It's like we want to go tell everybody what somebody has done wrong. You know, Joseph was not that kind of person. Listen, let me ask you a question. If you know dirt on somebody, how quick are you to spread that around to other people? Oh, and then we can do it religiously too. You know that, don't you? We'll do it spiritually. Hello? Hey, I need you to pray for somebody because, you know, they've kind of gotten in sin. And here's what they've done. You know, we don't have to do that. Joseph wasn't that kind of man. He didn't want dirt. He didn't want all that to happen. You know, I'm all for being a man's man, but sometimes we need to have a little bit of a tender side, if you would. We need to be willing to show them. You know, I think he was a broken man this day. When the plans that he had was all to be done away with. So we see he was a troubled man. We see he was a tender man. But we also see this. He was a thoughtful man. Do you ever stop to think about, before you make a major decision, why don't you spend some time thinking about it? Why don't you get alone with God? Listen what the Bible says in verse number 20. Look at what the Bible says. But while he thought on these things. What things? He thought on his engagement. He thought on Mary, who he thought was a wonderful young lady, a pure young lady, a modest young lady. He thought on these things. I'm sure he wondered, how could this happen? How did I misfigure her so much? How in the world could this happen? I think that as he was thinking on these things, I think he was thinking on these things in a prayerful way. You say, why do you say that? Because the Bible says, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine? What was Mary to do? I think next week, if my plans are as I think next week I'm going to talk about Mary, preach on Mary. But can you imagine? I just can't wait to get to heaven and get some, you know, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. How did he find out Mary was with child? Well, he knew before the angel came that she was, because he was thinking on these things. Did Mary go to him and say, Joseph, I have a child? And it's God. Now, did you ever think about that? Wonder what would I have thought if my wife had been Mary and she came to me and said, I'm expecting a child, but it's God's child. How many can see the... I don't know how he found out. I don't know how it was presented to him that day. But I want you to be honest with you. If somebody came up to me and told me that it's pregnant like Mary did, and if we look at her next week, you know what she said? How can this be? Seeing I know not a man. How can I be pregnant? It's years ago I read in the Reader's Digest. I can't remember if it's a true story or not, but I was reading a story in the Reader's Digest, and there was this girl who was sick, and her mother took her to the doctor. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor ran some tests, and he came back in and said, well, I found out what the problem is. And she said, what is that? And he said, she's pregnant. And the mother said, that is impossible. She's never been with a man. And the doctor went and looked out the east window, and she said, what are you doing? He said, well, the last time this happened, Jesus showed up. You know? I mean, seriously? Do you understand the complications of telling what really happened? It is absolutely what? Unbelievable that it happened. And here's Joseph. He's a thoughtful man, and he's trying to think about what to do. And I believe with all my heart that he wanted to do the right thing. As he was thinking about this. Wonder if he thought about being mean. Wonder if he thought about just publicly denouncing. What did he think? We know he was pondering on these things. And the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and said, I don't want you to put her away. I want you to take that child in, because Joseph, this is of God. You know, do you think he knew he was the Messiah? That he was the one who was going to come and deliver the nation of Israel? Did he know all of those things? He pondered and he thought about those things. You know what he didn't know? He didn't know that in a few months and 9 months down the road that he was going to have to be traveling from where he was in Jerusalem. He had to go to Jerusalem, which I think, if my memory serves me correct, was 90-something miles away with a wife that was very far pregnant, because Caesar Augustus was going to command that there was going to be a taxing, and they had to go back. And he didn't know what he was going to have to do. You know, when he accepted that, he was said, Lord, whatever this entails, I'm willing to do it. He thought on these things, and when he made his decision, I believe he made his decision with the influence of God in his life, and I don't think he ever regretted it. I don't think he regretted a mile. Can you imagine? That far pregnant, who do you think prepared the meals? We don't know if she rode a donkey the whole way. In the stories you see, she rode a donkey. But what if she had to walk? Any of you guys ever walk far with a pregnant woman? You know? That kind of, I don't even know if I can do that little waddle again. Hey, can I tell you what? 90 miles would be a long way. Y'all, come on now, don't they? Don't they walk that way? Hey, you know, I don't mean to be rude. They're not the nicest people in the world when they get that far along either. And I understand that, you know. What do you think he did walking along? Honey, why don't you go down to the river and get us some water? You know what she did, you know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then he gets to Jerusalem. There's no way to stay, nowhere to stay. Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you thought God would have had this figured out? He did. Nowhere to stay? Wait a minute. I got somewhere to stay. I got somewhere for you. Well, hallelujah. Where's that? There's no manger out back. What? He's willing to go in that manger? Man, how would you like to have been one of them shepherds that night that showed up? There Jesus is laid in a manger. Wow. And then, because Herod was going to try to kill him, he had to go to Egypt. He had to flee to Egypt until such a time that God allowed him back. But you know what? When he was in that manger, or when, actually it was a couple of years later before he fled to Egypt, because the wise men showed up. And what did the wise men bring? You remember what the wise men brought? Gold, myrrh, frankincense. You know what all three of those things were? All three of those things were valuable. So how did he live when he went to Egypt? God had provided for him. You know, along the way, he saw trials, but he also saw God preparing things for him. And then he brought him back. Finally, they come back. We don't know how long Joseph lived. We know that from what it seems like that he was dead at the time the crucifixion came. But you know what he had to probably do? He had to listen to people say all sorts of stuff about Jesus. We know then this, I think it's John chapter number 8, the Pharisees were making fun of Jesus and said, well, we know who our Father is. Insinuating what? He didn't even know who his Father was. They knew it wasn't Joseph. And Joseph had to listen to that, knowing that it was of God and the things that he had to put up with. You know what Joseph helps me with so much? Joseph helps me with remembering that we live in a horrible, wicked world. And I'm not responsible for what they do, but I want to act like Joseph did. I want to act like a godly man. I want to do what God wants me to do. And he took Mary and all of the things that he went through with her and stuff. He went through all of that. He went through a pregnant wife. He went through the birth of a child that he wasn't the biological father was. He went with this trip to first to Jerusalem and then to Egypt and then back in there. And he put up with all of the things that he put up with. But can I tell you what I think one of the things that helped him put up with this thing was he was a thoughtful man. Can I tell you something today? You and I need to be a person who, when things go bad, you know what we ought to do? Rather than react, we ought to just stop what we're doing, get in our quiet place with God, and prayerfully give thought to God, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to respond to this situation of my life? God, help me to respond in a godly way. Help me to be a man of God. Can I tell you today? Joseph was a carpenter. I picture him as a diligent carpenter working hard. Guess what he probably taught Jesus to do? To be a carpenter. Can you imagine teaching Jesus, Richard? You'll have to show him one time. He'd get it. You know, you tell him to do it, he does it every time, you know. I mean, when you were teaching him, when you were, you know, teaching God, when he was teaching God, guess what God was doing? listening and learning. The Bible says that he grew in stature and wisdom. He was listening and he was learning. Wow, can you imagine? Can you imagine the responsibility that God bestowed upon this man? And man, why did God bestow it upon this man? I believe he bestowed it upon this man because of the reasons that I told you today. Well, number one, because he was a troubled man. He knew what it was like to go through troubles and he knew how to handle. Number two, he was a tender man. Number three, he was a troubled man. It's a wonderful, wonderful story this morning about Joseph and about how Joseph, that God chose to be the father of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the biological father, but the earthly father, because of some characteristics that he had in his life. Let me ask you today, how do you handle troubles of life? How many here admit today, you say, preacher, when troubles come my way, I just react. If I need to throw a fit, I know how to throw a fit. Yeah. If I need to, you know, if I need to beat somebody up, then I'll just beat them up. You know, I know how to handle the person. I know how to do it. But let me ask you, is it God's way? How many of you today are tender? Listen, do you think that Joseph thought for a minute of what Mary was going to go through? Carrying a baby before you got married in that day, you know what it was? It was a disgrace. And she was going to be what? And you know what? She probably was humiliated. How would you like to have been Joseph, know what he knew, loved her the way he loved her, and put up with the trash that he had to put up with from other people? Because we do live in a world where a lot of people aren't tender and don't care. How many times at night, maybe did Mary just broken because of what she had heard, and Joseph was there to say, honey, you and I know the truth. We know where this baby came from. We know that you didn't do anything wrong. Rather than get upset and get ugly, we're just going to keep trusting God that he knows why this had to happen. That's the way that I see Joseph. I think God knew, you know, and then again, probably there was some times Mary was encouraging Joseph. I can see Joseph coming in today. She said, what are you looking for? My hammer. Which one? The big one. What do you need a big hammer for? Kid down the street's making fun of Jesus. I got this. Mary says, now, Joseph. isn't it going to be nice to get to heaven and find out some of these things? He was a tender man, but he was a thoughtful man. Can I tell you, for us to stop and think before we act. So many times we act before we think, and we do the exact wrong thing. When God looked down, I don't know what the population was in that day, when God looked down and was choosing that man who would be the stepfather for the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, that's the man that I want right there. Let me ask you, if he was coming today, would you be a man that he could consider? And if you're not a man he could consider, let me ask you this question today. Are you saved today? Do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? If you're here today, and listen, if you're here today and you don't know, and if you're here today and you think you know, you need to check up and make sure that you know that you're born again, that you have God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of you today. If you're here today and you're not saved, you ought to get that taken care of, because I'll guarantee you this much, I'll guarantee you that Joseph was a man who loved God and trusted God. If you're here today and you're not saved, that would eliminate you totally. But if you're here today and you're saved, are you the kind of man that Joseph was? Are you a man who knows how to handle troubles? Are you a man who knows how to be tender? And are you a man who knows how to think? The Bible says that in Philippians chapter number 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when I say a thoughtful man, I'm talking about a man who is able to think things through, to think things about the way that God thinks them. If God has spoken your heart today, I encourage you this morning, and when we have this invitation for you to come, if you're here today and you're not saved, and if you're a man, we have men in this church who'd be willing to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a lady, we have ladies in this church who would take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you stand this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and no one looking about? Let me ask you this morning, every head bowed and everyone about. Same way, ladies. I mean, we'll talk about Mary next week, but how many of you today would say, "Preacher, I know this. If Jesus was to coming today, I would not be on the list because of some things I have in my life that I know I need to get right with you." Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? I know today I would not be on the list. Would you pray for me? God bless you. Thank you for those hands. Listen, what is it that keeps you from being that kind of person? Why don't you come this morning and you talk to the Lord about it? Is there anyone here today to say, "Preacher, I don't know if I died, if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'm saved or not. Would you pray for me?" Would you lift your hand up? I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you. "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved or not." Is there anyone here this morning who would lift their hand and say, "Pray for me, preacher. I don't know if I'm saved." Anyone like that at all? Then those of you, if God has spoken your heart, let me ask you, how do you handle trouble today? Do you fall apart? Do you just, you know? Are you a tender person? Are you a thoughtful person? All of these things we see in the life of Joseph, and they need to be in our life. If God has spoken your heart about one of these things, you come. We'll have a word of prayer that Julie's going to play, and if God has spoken your heart, you respond. Father, I do thank you for Joseph today. I thank you for the blessing that he was and that we see in the Bible. Lord, it'll be a great day one day when those of us are saved will be able to look at Joseph and be able to talk with him, and Lord, to be able to find out things that weren't in the Bible, and Lord, to just to understand some things. It'll be an honor to meet this man that you chose. But Father, beyond that, I do pray that the attributes of Joseph that made you pick him, I pray that you would help us to find those attributes in our life or develop those attributes in our life. Dear God, help us to be more like you would have us to be. Help us in a tough day. Lord, it was a tough day in that day. Help us in this tough day to know how to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. With